Oh, Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to you. We're in your house today. And oh, how we pray a selfish prayer. We pray a selfish prayer that you would come and join us, that you would speak to us today, you would touch each heart today. We've come here, Lord, with great anticipation. But let us first praise you, and you be glorified in your house. And then, I'll pray, pour your Spirit out upon us. Touch each one today in such a way that they know that they know they've been in the presence of the Most High God. Be glorified in your house. Cleanse us now all from all unrighteousness. Let no unclean thing draw nigh into this place. And you be glorified. Hallelujah. Chapter 2, this is where we have been for a while. I'm going to give a brief recap so you understand where we're at, and just a brief message that the Lord asked me to bring. So, Lord, come. Come. We've been studying 1 Peter for the last 4 weeks, and we're going to continue in 1 Peter. The Lord spoke to me as I was praying, what am I supposed to do, Lord? I don't know what I'm doing. Back in November and December, he said, I want you to go through 1 and 2 Peter, first of the year. So here we are. Peter wrote this letter to all the believers who were scattered all over the first century Asia, which is the area that we now know as Turkey. It's always talked about as Asia in the Bible, and I think of China. It's not China. It's Turkey. These believers are mostly Jewish believers that came to faith in Christ during the time of Paul's missionary journeys throughout that whole area, and as well as also not just that area, but Macedonia and Greece, as you know. Many of the Jewish people were scattered. That scatter even started long before Peter wrote this, when Paul, when he was Saul, persecuted the church, and they scattered. The believers were experiencing at this time great persecution for their faith. This is a time when Nero ruled in Rome over all the entire Roman Empire, and Nero was not friendly to Christianity. He was hostile to the Christian faith and to its believers. And Peter was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this letter as an encouragement to these people. And so the context is also, as Peter is an eyewitness. We went through 1 John a lot last year, spent a lot of time in 1 John. Eyewitness. Peter is an eyewitness. So think about what he's written here and what he's trying to tell these people. Because he's saying, kind of like what Maria is saying about you got to know these people. He says, I know Jesus. Don't tell me what you guys got. I know. So we've read already, I'm going to give you a little brief overview. We've read Peter's admonitions to live as strangers in the world, but as God's elect, his chosen people. He writes to these believers and now to us. And this is a wonderful discovery, 1 Peter 1:3, that God's great mercy has been given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What Peter is saying here is beautiful. He's saying that he walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, and he knew for certain that Jesus was the promised Messiah, and all his hope was in Jesus. Then he saw Jesus die on the cross, be buried, and he's gone. He's dead. So Peter's hope died when Jesus died. Think of the two on the Emmaus Road. They were completely discouraged when they saw their hope in Jesus as being the Messiah die as they watched Jesus die. Then Jesus appeared as the Christ. So he's no longer Jesus now. He's Jesus the Christ. He's alive. Peter describes Jesus as now this living hope here. He calls it a living hope because it's not dead. Now we have been given this new birth, Peter writes, and we've been born again due to Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead. So now this hope that was once dead is now a living hope, and it's living forever. So in view of these facts, to which, again, Peter is an eyewitness, he writes, be holy in all you do, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. That's God speaking in Leviticus. And he also wrote, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. That speaks to me. For you are redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you. And he goes on, from your forefathers. And then Peter states that he can see that these people he's writing to are redeemed because they purified themselves by obeying the truth. So there's a sense of obedience that is necessary. They've heard that Jesus is the Christ. And the evidence he cites here is fascinating. It is because of their brotherly love, their love for one another, their Philadelphia love for one another. He says, that's clear evidence that you've been born again. That's clear evidence that Jesus is now in you. And then he calls them to a deeper love. He calls them to an agape love for one another, a love from the heart. So he sees the brotherly love for one another, and now he's calling them to something deeper, a love from the heart. Sometimes we call that an unconditional love, a love for one another from your heart. And I see that happening right here. It happens, but we could never do it without the Spirit of God in us. We would never love each other, even brotherly love, let alone agape kind of love, self-sacrificing love. So because of all this, he then goes on to tell them to rid yourself of all evil, all deceit, all lying, all hypocrisy, envy, slander of any kind. I went through all of those last week in detail. And he says, like a newborn baby cries for milk, giving clear evidence that that baby is alive and needs food. We are to crave pure spiritual milk as we have been given this new birth to show that we are truly alive in Christ. We are to desire the pure spiritual milk that is God's word, and this is what will make us grow in our salvation. Just as it makes a child grow, makes us grow in our salvation. What's our salvation? It's our new, restored relationship with God the Father. We are now made right with the Father through Christ the Son. And as a newborn baby perishes without milk, so we perish as newborn believers without the pure spiritual milk of God's Word. I went into all these things in depth in the last several sermons. So now Peter explains what this means in another way. So let us pray, and we will read from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. So Larry, would you pray over me, please?
Dear God, Heavenly Father, on that stuff, Brandy, have the Holy Spirit come down on guide his words, open our ears to hear the things we need to hear. Thank you for the messages you've already given us today. We thank you for that. Amen.
Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. I've been amazed how much meat is all Peter's letters. So we're going to talk about those two verses. We are called to come to Christ, who is the living stone. He's going back to that living piece. He saw him die. He saw him resurrect. He saw him ascend. So he is living. And now he's a living stone, raised from death to life. We must draw near to him, is what that means. Approach him in an attitude of worship and an attitude of reverence. The meaning is that we are to be ever approaching Jesus Christ, not just once, every day, always. Talked about that a lot. Start your day. I gave you guys scriptures a year ago. Start your day with Christ, with God's word. For though Christ was rejected by mankind, he is chosen by God, and he is precious to God. Peter loved to use that word, precious. He is selected by God, and he is, meaning he's highly valued, he's dearly, dearly loved, and is most honorable in God's sight. So as we continue to draw near to him, we are being built into a spiritual house. So as Jesus is the living stone, it says we are like living stones. Well, why are we like living stones? Does that make sense to you? Well, yes, because as Jesus was raised from death to life, we have been given new birth and are now raised from death, meaning from the empty way of life handed down to us from our forefathers. Many of us understand that part of life. We've been raised to life, to a new life, from that life. We've died to that. 2 Corinthians 5:16 tells us, so from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Very familiar verse, but we can't forget the meaning of what that means. We are born new. We now know that Jesus is the Christ. He's revealed that to us. He's the promised Messiah. So we no longer think of him as just a man, just maybe a good guy or a prophet or a wise person like so many people do. We don't think that. Not just a man. No, because we believe that, we are a new creation. This spiritual house is not a temple like the Jewish temple. The Lord tells us that we are the temple in this new covenant. In 1 Corinthians 6, we read, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? He goes on, you know, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. But the point is now the temple is us. And the Greek word for house here can also indicate household, meaning a family who is more or less or even literally related to one another, literally or figuratively related. And so as living stones, as Peter says, we're living stones, we're being built into a living house or a family. And we're built on the living stone. So the purpose was not to speak of a temple like that of Jerusalem, made of gold and costly stones, but a temple made up of living materials, redeemed people. Last week I talked about we are redeemed. We're redeemed people in whom God now resides in each and every one of us. Christian houses of worship are never called temples because the temple was for sacrifice, which has no place in the new covenant. If we know it, he died once for all. So those sacrifices are no longer required from God. They've been satisfied. They were a requirement, and Jesus satisfied them. So the Christian temple is actually a congregation, ecclesia, of spiritual worshipers who love God. This is a living temple, a temple composed of living materials, from the foundation of the living stone all the way through all of us who are redeemed. So God imparts life to the whole spiritual temple as he is the living stone built on him as the foundation. One of the other commentaries I wrote was, Christ is positively the living stone, living as having life in himself and as raised from the dead to live forevermore. And the reference to that is Revelation 1:18. He will live forever and ever. Even though he's rejected by man, he is now the source of life to all of us. No earthly rock, he lives. Like no earthly stone. This isn't just a rock, an earthly stone. He lives and he gives life. Jesus Christ is the source of life to all of his followers. And it is in union with him that they live. It is in union with Christ that we live. It is drawing near to him and abiding in him that we have life. And we are now built into a living spiritual household to be a holy priesthood. And that's what you see right here. This is a living house filled with redeemed people living a holy priesthood to one another. We're serving one another. I wrote a little paraphrase from Wiersbe. In the Old Testament, God's people had a priesthood. In the new covenant, this side of the cross, God's people are a priesthood. Every one of us, we're part of the priesthood. Each individual believer has the privilege of coming into the presence of God. And we do not come to God through any person on earth, but only through one mediator, and that is Jesus Christ. He's alive in glory. He's interceding for us, and we can minister to one another as holy priests. It says right there in Hebrews, he's now sitting there ministering for us, interceding for us. So now it says we bring spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Romans 12:1 tells us, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. We can never offer anything to God until we've offered ourselves to Him. We have to offer ourselves first. Then we offer prayers of thanksgiving and praise. We offer our good deeds, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. We offer our tithes from our wealth, the first fruits of all of our crops. Those are our blessings that we have received from God. We offer prayers for all the saints as well as we pray for our enemies. We were just talking about that. We pray for these people that do this to other human beings. We set aside our egos. We offer brotherly love and unconditional love to one another. That is a spiritual sacrifice. We set aside our egos to the point where we set aside our desires and our considerations for others is much more important than our own. We consider others more important than we consider our own selves. We offer our bodies as living sacrifices to our Lord and Savior. In everything that we do it all for the glory of God. These are our offerings of spiritual sacrifice that are acceptable to God. So, Lord, help us to give our everything to you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this seems, again, as I even said last week, it seems simple. It just isn't easy. But we want it, Lord. We really do. But you know, our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. So help us, O Lord, to understand we can always cry out to you if we need help. We need to be better at this. I need to figure out how to love that person. I need to part with my wealth to help somebody. I need to be willing to spend time in prayer with you supporting the saints. I need to spend time with you praying for my enemies. All the things I've mentioned, help us, Lord, because we're not always willing. But you can make us willing. So fill us with your Spirit today. Hear our cry to you that we really want to be those people with a heart after your own heart and to be the people you want us to be, not the people we want to be. So help us, O Lord, in that little battle that we're always in with the flesh and the spirit, and let us walk in the spirit, that you would be glorified, hallelujah, that Christ would be lifted up, and that the Holy Spirit would teach us and guide us and transform us. Hear our prayers. Amen. Hallelujah.